Welcome to day 163 of the Story That Changes Everything. Our readings for today are Job chapters 37 through 39 and Psalm 69. Here's some thoughts to guide your reading for today. The psalm for today, Psalm 69, could easily be a lament placed on the lips of Job. Here's how it opens. Save me, God, because the waters have reached my neck. I've sunk into the deep mud. My feet can't touch the bottom. I've entered deep water. The flood has swept me up. I'm tired of crying. My throat is hoarse. My eyes are exhausted with waiting for my God. My eyes are exhausted from waiting for my God. That's Job's situation. He's been living with the sense of God's absence for 37 chapters. And in the text for today, the silence of God is finally broken. Notice in the psalm a couple of references that make their way into the story of Jesus as told by the gospel writers. Verse 9 contains the line the disciples recall in John chapter 2 when Jesus cleanses the temple, "Passion for your house has consumed me." And of course, the suffering in verse 21 becomes part of Jesus' passion experience, where the psalmist writes, "To quench my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." If we go back to Job, Job chapter 37 ends the final speech of Elihu. He repeats his belief that there's a mystery about God's ways, a mystery that can be seen in the complexity of the natural elements around us. No one can control the weather, so Elihu wonders how God uses these forces for his purposes. God uses them to discipline people. God uses them to care for the land and for what the land brings forth. And sometimes God uses them in ways we simply don't comprehend, thinks Elihu. His speech ends chastising Job for not respecting God's power and wisdom. In the end, in the light of God's awesomeness, people should simply live in awe and fear of God. Although there is much about what Elihu has to say that's generally true, like Job's three other friends, Elihu's simplistic and mechanistic view of the universe brings more hurt to Job than help. Elihu turns out to be just a younger and slightly angrier version of Job's three friends. But everything changes with chapter 38. The last chapters of the book of Job contain two great speeches by God and two short responses from Job. The twist in the speeches is that God does not really reveal much about why Job has been suffering. The reader kind of expects God to let Job know about his conversation and deal with the heavenly accuser, but Job never learns anything about it. Instead, God's first speech begins with a series of 70-plus rhetorical questions that challenge Job's understanding of the world's order and even the possibility of him understanding it at all. The focus of the first speech is on God's power and wisdom as seen in the natural world. God designed and created all things, and he continues to govern their operations. Where was Job when God put it all together? No single human being or even the whole of humanity could ever plan or carry out a project as complex as creation itself. God's governance of the world includes maintaining the weather, the seasons, and all the heavenly bodies that create day and night. God has fixed boundaries for the various forces of the world so that creation can sustain life and make human flourishing possible. In chapter 39, God's focus shifts from his creation of the inanimate world to the animate one. God points to various creatures and asks Job if he could create them, or care for them, or give them the abilities that they have. Notice that the animals God points to are wild ones, and some of them quite dangerous. And like the forces of nature, these animals have the potential to be highly destructive, and yet God holds part of their wild natures back and uses their great power for their flourishing, but also makes it possible for humans to flourish along with them. There are still three chapters left in God's response, but in these opening chapters of God's great tour of the universe that he gives to Job, notice that we don't get a lot of answers to the problem of evil, but I do think we see in this speech the inverse question, the problem, or perhaps better, the beauty and possibility of good. There's a lot of evil in the world for which Job and we all would like an answer. But God seems to point to much of the goodness, creativity, and beauty of the world and ask Job a question. Can you create all this good? Those who want to dismiss God's existence because of the problem of evil still have to contend with the problem of good. The many potential forces for destruction in the world also hold out the possibility of life. How are all of these forces formed and sustained? Can you do that, human? Asked God. There are more mysteries to the world than we can comprehend. And so we keep moving forward in God's response to Job, and we conclude this beautiful and challenging book tomorrow with chapters 40 through 42. I'll talk to you tomorrow.